Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
On my orders, the United States military has begun strikes against Al-Qaeda terrorist training camps and military installations of the Taliban regime in Afghanistan.
We are assembling a coalition of support for refugees in and outside Afghanistan, which is as vital as the military coalition.
I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and this is The Takeaway. We begin today with the end of America's longest war, as American troops finally begin to come home after 20 years in Afghanistan.
Our allies and partners have stood beside us, shoulder to shoulder in Afghanistan for almost 20 years. The plan has long been in together, out together.
In together, out together. That may have been the plan, but currently thousands of Afghan interpreters, guides, and contractors who served as our allies are still waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. One of the biggest obstacles is the application process for Afghan allies to receive visas to come to the U.S. It consists of 14 steps, and it takes years to complete. Though the U.S. House recently passed a bill to process applications more quickly, the legislation doesn't include the family members of the thousands who put their lives on the line. The U.S. State Department also recently opened the refugee program for Afghans who don't qualify for the special immigrant visa known as SIV. But to qualify for the refugee program, Afghan citizens themselves are responsible for figuring out how to get out of Afghanistan and into another country. And then once there, processing them as refugees could take up to another year. Joining me now is Amadullah Siddiqui, a former Afghan interpreter who is now an SIV ambassador with No One Left Behind, a nonprofit organization committed to ensuring that America keeps our promise to our allies and their families who've risked their lives for our freedoms. Siddiqui, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Can you start by telling me a bit about your process that you went through to get your visa?
I got my visa in 1 year. I started working with DEA in Afghanistan from 2010 to 2014. And I started my application process in 2013. But luckily, I got my visa in 2014 and I came to the United States.
Now, how is the process that you went through, which is one you describe here as lucky and it happened fairly swiftly, how is that different than the visa process Afghan interpreters, guides, and contractors are going through now?
So actually, the process is a 14-step process, and we filed all the application process and sent all the documents to NVC, National Visa Center, here in the States. Before, there were some staff member who were working on it. But right now, this understaffing and a lot of background checks, you know, takes these visas too long, and people are still waiting for these visas for so many, you know, years. There are people who are just waiting for their interview for 3 years only for a paperwork. So paperwork should normally take 9 months, but there are some people who got their visas in 5, 6, 7 years.
Can you talk to me about the recommendation letters and what kind of recommendation letters people need for going through the process and why it might be difficult for them to get these letters?
More than 16,000 people are still waiting for their visas. And there are thousands of interpreters who are not eligible for this. The recommendation letter and the HR letter or employment verification letter are two of the most important papers that you need to have. A recommendation letter should be signed and should be written by your direct supervisor. And an HR letter should be by your employer. If you don't have these two, you will not be eligible for the process. But right now in Afghanistan, since the U.S. withdrew already and most of the companies, the contractors, they left Afghanistan, we still have thousands of people who don't have their recommendation or HR letters, and they are not eligible for the process. And they even can't reach them. There are some reasons. One, that their email address are not working because those email addresses were associated with their job before, or their phone number, or they don't have any contact with your supervisors. But the problem is when you apply, the embassy asks you for the updated HR letter or for the updated recommendation letters, which is a big problem right now for all the interpreters down there.
All right, so let's talk about what's at stake. What kind of danger are people in while they are waiting these weeks, months, and as you said, years?
Well, the fear of Taliban retaliation is being intensely across Afghanistan. It's like, you know, if you feel it, as the U.S. will withdraw its forces completely by September, and they will leave thousands of interpreters and thousands of our allies back. When you work with the U.S. forces or any foreign coalition forces, you will be stamped and you will be considered as a spy. And the Taliban, as soon as they get you, they will directly kill you. They will not even ask for your paperwork. They will not even ask for any of your badge or anything. They know they have connections everywhere. They know you work. They kill you. They have killed too many of our allies, you know, in the past 20 years. And they will never leave anyone who is working or who has worked before.
Given the threat of death, why did so many make a decision to be allies to the U.S., to work in these supportive roles?
Well, there were some reasons. Like, first of all, financial problems. People are financially broken. They wanted to support their families. Second, they wanted to help both countries, Afghanistan and the United States. And they put their lives, you know, at risk and the lives of their families.
Say a little bit more about the lives of families for those who have been working in these roles, and then your point about the willingness, the absolute and swift willingness of the Taliban to take their lives. Is this danger only for the principals, or is it also for their spouses, their children, their parents?
The threat is not only to interpreters, but to their families as well. Because in Afghanistan, families live together. And SIVs who are in the United States right now, they already got their visas, and they're here in the States, but they have immediate families in Afghanistan. They have their siblings, their parents. The Taliban find out, they will directly kill them. Now, the Taliban go door to door and kill our allies. With the SIV process, you can bring your wife, your kids, underage, those who are under 21. But we have some instances that people got their visas and their children either not married, and they're 21 or 21 plus, but they live together. And they were asked, you cannot take these two or these three kids with you. And the family is stuck. So because nobody can leave, you know, their loved ones behind. And these instances happen a lot.
So help me to understand, if when I started my visa process, if I was an interpreter, I started my visa process and my son was 19 when I started, but he turned 22 before I was able to get my visa, then you're saying the process would have said, well, you can come, but you must leave your 22-year-old son behind?
Yes, they won't let you bring him in. We have instances because I receive calls and emails on a daily basis, and they too many people have the same problem. Even at some point, they put their kids like in a 18 or 17 or let's say even 16, and their visas took too long. And by the time they got their visa, their son becomes 23 or 22, and they're not eligible to get the visa.
So many Americans, despite how long this conflict, how long the U.S. was embroiled in this conflict, still don't always understand what life was like, what contractors and military persons were doing on the ground. What is the role of interpreters? What kinds of jobs were you all doing? How did you facilitate the work of U.S. contractors and military?
Well, first of all, these are unsung heroes. And they were so close to our American veterans. And most of the American veterans, they feel so bad for their friends, for their colleagues down in Afghanistan. We were an army. We were working shoulder to shoulder with U.S. Army, U.S. forces. We were on a battlefield together. We had the same uniform in most of the time, and we were in fighting directly with the insurgents, with the Taliban directly. So we were a soldier with them. Beside being an interpreter, beside being a linguist, we were a soldier. We have many instances that our interpreter saved too many American lives, our soldiers' lives. We had the same duties as the U.S. Army had. And we were the frontliner. We went to, you know, district into district, talking to people and explaining their needs and interpreting their needs and then telling them to our, you know, to our soldiers. So we were the frontliner all the time.
As you're explaining that, as you're telling me that, I guess I'm wondering, did you all know in advance about the, given how closely embedded you were, that you were fighting side by side, that you were one force, did you know that the troops were being pulled out and how swiftly it would happen?
Nobody knew on that time. But after 2014, everybody, you know, when the U.S. started their withdrawal from Afghanistan and everybody got the concern, everybody, and many more applications started, you know, their process. But the delays happened after 2016, and our allies, in a large amount, in at least 300 interpreters have been killed since 2016. And that list of casualties grew up, you know, on a daily basis.
If we don't get this right, how is this going to affect the U.S. being able to convince others in other nations to serve in this role in the future?
Well, if we don't keep our promise, our integrity will be under question. We promise our allies we will pull you out with us. We will bring you home safely. But if we don't keep our promise, so we will lose our word, our promise that we did with our allies. And nobody in the future might not work with our forces.
Amadilla Siddiqui, former Afghan interpreter and SIV ambassador with No One Left Behind. Thank you so much for joining us on The Takeaway.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.